Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. It rained last night, or I should say this morning. It rained. Oh, it was just so thrilling to see moisture coming from the skies. We haven't had any in Denver, Colorado for a whole month, and so it was really fun to have that wonderful rain. Praise God. Oh, friend, in each new day, God wants to bless you. He wants you to have joy, peace, hope, and most of all, the inexpressible comfort of His love. Oh, His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Oh, I hope you take hold of that and just live by that. His peace, His joy, His righteousness. It's all in Jesus, my friend. It's all in Jesus Christ. You are blessed to dispense, for in Him you live and move and have your being. And our memory verse for this week, you know, kind of because of what's going on in the world, I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be scared in any way, shape, or form, especially, well, some of you who don't know the Lord Jesus and you've never made that decision. I hope so. No, I love you. I don't want you to be afraid. All I want you to do is say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I admit I'm a sinner. I ask you to give me a brand new heart. Take away all the doubt and the fear and the unbelief. I accept you as Savior and Lord into my life. Amen. That's it. That's it. It's wonderful. Any prayer will do. Sincere prayer. Psalm 27, verse 1. And congratulations if you just said, okay, I've had enough here. I've had many years I've said, maybe, maybe, maybe. So if you just accepted Jesus as your Savior, oh, congratulations. You've got a wonderful adventure ahead of you. Don't plan anything. God plans it for you. Praise the Lord. Memory verse, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? And the Message translation says of Psalm 27, 1 through 3, light, space, zest, that's God. So with Him on my side, I'm fearless, afraid of no one, nothing. Then vandal hordes ride down. See, even in the Old Testament, vandal hordes were like we're facing today. Vandal hordes. It's so expressive. And here's David saying, when vandal hordes ride down ready to eat me alive, those bullies and toughs fall flat on their faces. When besieged, I'm calm as a baby. When all hell breaks loose, I'm collected and cool. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I want to be like that. You know, if you get a sudden jerk in the night or something happens or a car almost hits you and all of a sudden the adrenaline comes up into your throat and then you say, nope, I'm cool, I'm calm, I'm collected, I have peace. Oh, last night I told the Lord, if you awaken me, I'll go watch the lunar eclipse. And behold, He awakened me at 4:10 this morning. So I put on my coat and went outside in the backyard to see the eclipse. And it was such a beautiful, clear morning. I mean, not a leaf was stirring. And perfect timing. I'm glad that I saw it. I wish I'd had a telescope. You know how that is? It's a little ball in this huge, big sky. And you see the colors, you see the color on the moon, because usually it's just that bright, beautiful, buttery yellow. And here it was kind of a orangey, pinkish kind of thing, but so far away. but I'm glad I stood. I stood out there until I really got cold. And so I'm glad I saw it. And then this morning I wake up, it had been clear at 4:30. When I woke up at 7, it was cloudy and raining. It's just amazing how God works. I just love him. I just love the Lord. Oh, this is such a great time to be watching the scriptures for last day events that correlate with the things that happened in the Old Testament. See, it's just not a history book. These are kind of road signs and warnings and also foretellings of what God's going to do in the future. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. That's why I read the Bible. After 50 years, you'd think I've had enough. No, I never have enough. I am learning, always learning. Oh, I never saw that. And I'm sure some of you reading the word, oh, I've read this Bible 4 or 5 times and I never saw that. Oh, God is so good. It's not only history, folks. It's just a preparation of what God is doing and going to do in short order here. I believe God is collapsing time and multiplying the anointing. God has appointed a Jehu Josiah. I say that because I think President Trump is a combination of Jehu and Josiah. And I hope I get you curious enough to go into the Old Testament, into Chronicles, and read about Jehu and Josiah to reign in the terror that it was about to unleash. I'm so glad President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu did this. If Iran could have produced a nuclear bomb, if they would have, we would be vapor. We would be. I mean, they don't care where they strike. And you saw that this weekend. Some of their neighbors and allies, they just bombed them anyway. Dubai and Yemen and all these countries around them, boy, we're just going to get them all. And so they were bombing all over the place. So I'm glad the U.S. is doing this. Oh, Father God, thank you. You are my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Maybe you don't think this was a good time to get rid of a cruel and murderous regime. And are you an expert in what Iran was about to do? Some people speculate, you know, well, I know that we were not in imminent danger. How do you know that? How do you know that? There were people standing up before Congress today saying that was unnecessary, that bombing this weekend. How do you know that? A warning for us is the incident that happened in Austin, Texas. That man who killed 3 and injured 14 in Austin was a national from Senegal. The gunman who was shot and killed by police was wearing a sweatshirt that said, "Property of Allah." That means Allah is the greatest. Oh, I hate to tell you, folks, Allah is not the greatest. He was also wearing an undershirt featuring an Iranian flag during the attack. We need to be vigilant, my friends. Be aware of your surroundings and cautious when walking into a place of business. Sense if there's any uneasy feeling in your soul. If you sense that, walk out. Well, I need something. You can find another place where you get that product. You really can. You don't need to go to these places that make you feel creepy. Mm-mm. And it may be Holy Spirit warning you. I have experienced that so many times in my life. I've walked in and boy, immediately hit with something into restaurants or retail places and just didn't feel right. And Darren would be so bold. Oh, I'm telling you, when we would be in a church service. And he would get up in the middle of the church service and said, "Barbara, this is not God. This is not right." And these were charismatic churches, friend. They weren't liberal, Lutheran, or Methodist, or Episcopalian. So he'd take my hand and says, "We're out of here." Oh, thank God for a godly husband who had a spirit of discernment. But boy, I was quaking in my shoes every once in a while when we go into a church that was new. And oh, I wonder what he's going to say about this one. Oh, I want to give you a scripture from 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. It's one that Darren spoke of many times on the radio. And it says, "What do you have that you didn't receive?" Now, I'm going to get to the reason of this in just a few minutes, but I just want to explain what Paul was wanting to say in 1 Corinthians 4. "Therefore, do not go on passing judgment, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God." He doesn't have to tell people how great he is. You don't have to go and tell and brag. No, you don't have to do that. If you have done that, by the very grace of God and Jesus Christ, you're going to receive accolades from them. When you humble yourself, you will be exalted. That's a guarantee. That's in James 4. Learn to be humble and not arrogant in your relationships. For who regards you as superior? Do you regard yourself as superior? You know so much. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast that you have not received the revelation from God? So I want you to just think about what you say. What your words really matter. 1 Corinthians 4, 4 through 7 is a rhetorical question. What do you have that you did not receive? To confront the Corinthian church's pride and self-sufficiency. Wow, we got a lot of that around here. Church's pride and self-sufficiency. And it was the church. Oh, folks, we have to be careful even going to church. The Corinthians were boasting about their spiritual gifts, eloquence and status, treating these as if they were earned by their own effort rather than God's gifts. Paul had just reminded them that all believers are equal in Christ and that their abilities and achievements are not self-attained but given by God. This was a direct rebuke to their tendency to value outward appearances and human accomplishments above the work of Holy Spirit. I watched the Medal of Honor being given to three people in the rotunda two days ago. And President Trump was so good about presenting these awards. I saw during this time such humility, and I'm so grateful that I got to see that. Sometimes, do you ever say, now, why are you asking me to turn on the TV? I haven't watched it all day. I'm interested in this music or what I'm doing in the recipe book or what I'm doing in the yard. So why are you telling me to turn on the television right now? So many times, Holy Spirit tells me that. I said, well, why? See, that's our why. We ask him why when we should say, oh, okay, Holy Spirit, I will do that right now. Because I have turned it on and I found programs like this Medal of Honor ceremony. And I'm so grateful. I am just so grateful I turned it on at that time. There was a wonderful, brave soldier, and they were in Iraq in Afghanistan at that time, 13 years ago. And this American soldier and a Polish officer had just gotten together, were walking together, when they noticed a man. He had these bombs strapped on his chest, and he was coming for them. Well, instead of running, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, Army Staff Sergeant Michael Olas saved the Polish officer's life by going in front of him and taking the full brunt of the bomb. And it was an amazing, brave act. And here at the Medal of Honor ceremony on Monday, anyway, some of you will probably email Barbara. It was at the Medal of Honor ceremony. This wonderful Polish officer stood up. Now, remember, he's in Poland, and President Trump asked him to come and give it a testimony. And when he got up to the podium, that's what he said. What do I have that I did not receive? I was shocked. I really was, that this Polish officer would say a quote from the Bible, because I was very familiar with it because of Darren. And so I was just delighted and shocked at the same time, because I realized this officer was saying, what I have today, I did not receive on my own. It was by the grace of God that I'm still alive and standing here in front of you. Oh, and so he talked about Michael and what a brave warrior he was. And he even says at their camp in Poland, a mess hall has been named SSG Michael H. Olas Warrior Grill. That's what the cafe is called. Warrior Grill honors his memory and sacrifice. And in a more meaningful tribute, the Polish soldier that Olas saved, he's Lieutenant Carol Sierpica, and he's going to name his son Michael in honor of the fallen soldier. When Lieutenant Sierpica received the award for Michael from President Trump, when he quoted that scripture, I was just so touched, profoundly, deeply touched. This soldier realized that what he received from Michael when the bomb went off is a life to honor God and those who have given their lives for their country. Oh, it was a beautiful time. It really was. Now, we're going to go to just talking a little bit about that and then going into Ezekiel 39. And for I want to go to 1 Corinthians 4, 7, and 8. But right now, we have a message from Travis.
Want to stay connected with Freedom Street? Get the Freedom Street Express newsletter delivered straight to your inbox. Explore our Voice of Freedom blogs and dive into Darren Carmack's teachings, all at freedomstreet.org. Or just email us anytime at hello@freedomstreet.org. Freedom Street is a listener-supported ministry with no sponsors, and your donations make it possible for us to stay on the air sharing the good news of our freedom in Christ. Thank you for standing with us.
Ah, thank you, Travis. And that is freedomstreet.org, and you can donate on there. You can just go around and looking at things, investigating a little bit. I'm going to pray that God gives you a curiosity. Some of you have never been curious about a thing in your life. It's just been given to you, and you go to work every day, and there's no questions asked. And there's never a question in your mind about why you're doing what you're doing. And so, Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for a curiosity for our listeners. Oh, in his precious name, that they will be hunting and investigating and looking into things and curious about life. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Oh, and here, I just want to have a little explanation of 1 Corinthians 4, 7, and 8. For who do you know that really knows you, knows your heart? Who do you know that really knows you? Even as much as I knew Darren, and Darren knew me, open heart, there are things down inside that we never had divulged. And I'm sure you're the same way. And in fact, you hadn't even thought about it. Sometimes Holy Spirit brings thoughts up in my mind. Whoa, I haven't thought of that for 60 years, you know, or I haven't smelled that wonderful aroma. I can almost smell it. We have such a wonderful, wonderful senses and minds. You have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. So here in 1 Corinthians 4, 7 and 8, it says, and even if they did know your heart, is there anything they would discover in you that they would take credit for? Would they take credit for something that you've done? Isn't everything you have and everything you are sheer gifts from God? So what's the point of all this comparing and competing? I've seen it in every denomination, in every church, the comparing and competing. And folks, it's disgusting and it's exhausting. Oh, you've seen it. You know, you already have all you need, Paul is saying. You already have more access to God than you can handle. You're sitting on top of the world. At least God's world in salvation and grace is the right thing for us to do, to take part of, sitting alongside God and sitting alongside you. Absolutely. Here we go to Ezekiel 39. And I was talking about this yesterday. And you, son of man, prophesy against God. Who was he talking to? Ezekiel. Absolutely. He was a captive in Babylon. What a place to get a prophecy. And thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, chief prince or ruler of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. And I will say all the Muslim nations are in that description. And I will turn you about and will lead you on and will cause you to come up from the uttermost parts of the north and will lead you against the mountains of Israel. And that's why a lot of people think that it's going to be Russia and it's going to be China. Some of these countries that have been made new, and with this stan, that last their names, the last four letters are STAN, a lot of new nations and countries. So we really don't know. We really don't know. So we're just contemplating. And I will smite your bow with the left hand. Now, this is God speaking. And I will cause your arrows to fall out of your right hand. God is in this fight with Israel. He's in this fight with the United States and Israel, folks. He is. And we should be praying that that fight is going to be successful. And you shall fall dead upon the mountains of Israel. Who's he speaking against? Gog. Gog and Magog. And you shall fall dead upon the mountains. So they will invade. this big, big, huge army will invade Israel, and I believe the rapture will have taken place when this happens. I really do. I believe today and this weekend were skirmishes and battles to get rid of the terrorist regime, and there will be a peace. I've heard several Jewish people this week, oh, we just want peace. It's been so long since we've had peace. It's kind of like when I walked out of the door this morning. Oh, it's rain. We haven't had rain for so long, you know. And the Jewish people desire peace more than anything else. Well, they're going to give a small amount of peace. Then we're going to be raptured, and then tribulation is going to begin. And the first 3.5 years are going to be bad. But the last 3.5 years, nope. It's going to be death, death on earth. Verse 6 of Ezekiel 39, I will send fire, and boy, have we seen the fire in the last 4 days, on Magog and upon those who dwell securely in the coastlands. And they shall know and understand and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. And I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name any more. Israel will have learned their lesson, folks, and the nations shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. I love that name, the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is coming and it will be done. He's saying, folks, when you read this, my promises are true. I keep my promises. So verse 8 of Ezekiel 39 says, behold, it is coming and it will be done, says the Lord God. That is the day of which I have spoken. And when you, Gog, are no longer, they who dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the battle gear, the shields, the bucklers, the bows and arrows. Now remember, this was thousands of years ago. So we know that, or hundreds, but thousands, yeah. We know that today there are now other things that take the place of bows and arrows and bucklers and handspikes and riding whips and spears. And they shall burn them with fire, with fuel, for they shall burn them as fuel for 7 years, so that my people shall take no firewood out of the field or cut down any out of the forest, for they shall make their fires of the weapons, and they shall despoil those who despoiled them and plunder those who plundered them, says the Lord God. And this is taking place. We're seeing retribution. We're seeing vindication for Israel right now. Praise the Lord. Verse 11, and in that day I will give to Gog a place for burial there in Israel, the valley of those who pass through on the east side in front of the Dead Sea, the highway between Syria, Petra, and Egypt, and it will delay and stop those who pass through. There are going to be so many bodies. This is God's doing. This is not U.S. or any other army. This is God. And there are going to be so many bodies that they block the roadways. So now they're going to clear the roadways so the people can pass through. And there they shall bury Gog and all of his multitude. They shall call it the Valley of Haman Gog, multitude of Gog. And this is a valley called Jehoshaphat in the Israel. And there's a time coming in the top of epic fury and roaring lion that Israel will think there is finally peace after all these years of fearful apprehension from countries around the world. But Israel's enemies and Satan is the culprit of hate against Israel. Israel's enemies will form a huge, huge army against Israel. And I believe, friend, this is after we're gone. And it will be in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And it will be filled with the dead, that it will block the way of travelers, and the burial process is extensive. So we know in those days, after this horrible battle, people are going to go on doing normal things. After you've had horrible things happen, even 9/11, and everybody was going to church for about a month. And then things get back to normal. And I know it was a heap of rubble. I bawled my brains out when I stood above that big hole that used to be the towers. And I couldn't believe it. But things, after a while, things get back to normal and you get back to normal. So all these people were passing through and they had buried the dead. 7 months are required for the people of Israel to bury the fallen. All the people of the land participate in the burial, and the event is described as a day of renown for God's glory. And the significance of all this is that God's divine judgment will finally be seen by the whole world. Hallelujah. The valley represents God's ultimate victory over evil and the vindication of his people. It affirms that God will protect and restore Israel, even against overwhelming opposition. The warning to those doubters and unbelievers is that opposing God's purposes will result in total destruction for the ungodly. The valley becomes a lasting memorial of God's power and finally the final defeat of his enemies. And if you saw how they bombed, they were even meeting to select a new leader in Iran, and the IDF bombed that place. Their whatever they have, their spy equipment is so precise that they can knock something out. I mean, hundreds of miles away. So if I were people in Iran, I would say, I'm going to do what the U.S. and Israel is asking me to do. Because they're going to bomb the tunnels and everything. And in fact, Marco Rubio was saying the hardest has not been completed yet. There are going to be some hard times ahead. So you know, friend, you know that things are going to get worse. But remember, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I want to give you my verse of scripture for this week, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? And I know that you are there listening. If you're there listening, God has protected you. He has kept you from danger. You might have been in danger. You might have been in a lot of trouble. But God has brought you through. I want you to remember that. God, you have brought us through. Oh, God bless you and keep you and take joy.
For listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.